episode Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, September 14, 2020. Civil servants in South Sudan complain about salaries.
We are suffering, but we are just trying our level best. We just try to help your kids, just struggling. The survival is hard. We are trying.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's finance minister says there is no money for paying civil servants' salary arrears. Most civil servants in South Sudan last received salaries in April. Some government employees in the capital, Juba, say their situation is getting worse and prices of basic goods are skyrocketing. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
The last time most South Sudanese civil servants were paid was in April, although some government workers received salaries in May. Civil servants say they are finding it more and more difficult to feed their families. 53-year-old civil servant Fozia Lukadi, who resides in Juba's Gudele neighborhood, wakes up about 6 a.m. each day and goes to Juba's custom market, where she buys food that she displays on a table and resells in front of her house to earn money for her children.
We are suffering, but we are just trying our level best. We just try to help your kids, just struggling. The survival is hard. We are trying. We are now all in the market. We just sell small things to keep home, to survive. We are surviving on this, selling small things out, then we'll help the family.
Juma Abdallah works as boda boda or motorcycle taxi driver to supplement his meager earning as a government employee. Abdallah says many public servants like him have started working a second job to put food on the table.
Our salaries are off and on, and life keeps on becoming hard each and every day. So I have decided to buy a motorcycle so that I can work as a boda boda man just to provide for my family. People's livelihood in Juba is really getting tough, especially to the civil servants. There are many challenges that people face in regards to this economic hardship.
Lukadi and Abdallah are calling on the finance ministry to pay their salaries in arrears. Finance Minister Salvatore Garang Mabior appeared before the Assembly Business Committee of South Sudan National Assembly recently to explain why the government has not paid civil servant salaries for nearly 5 months. Mabior says the COVID-19 lockdown, which has affected the global economy, including crude oil prices, he says the price of oil on the international market has plummeted and South Sudan's production levels have dropped from 250,000 barrels since March to around 170,000 barrels per day.
Minister of Finance is only given one cargo, which is 600,000. And the cost now is below 30. And we cannot, we don't meet the new salary structure. And even the old one is now being augmented by overdrafts. Because the little one which is being brought by NRA is not enough to pay the salaries.
Mabior claims more than 19 institutions in the country have yet to remit revenues to the National Revenue Authority, money the government relies on to pay civil servants' salaries. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some traders in the Sudanese capital Khartoum have welcomed the decision to monitor and regulate the use of foreign currency in the country. Some gold traders in Khartoum shut down their shops in protest, demanding an end to what they call chaos in the exchange rates of foreign currency in the market. The traders say they cannot continue working because they are not making profits. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
A Khartoum resident who prefers to be identified only by his first name, Abdallah, for safety reasons, says he welcomes any moves by the government to fight the depreciation of the local currency against the dollar. Abdullah, who sells gold in the gold complex of Khartoum's Al Arabi main market, says the government must regulate the rate of exchange for local currency versus foreign currency to stabilize the price of gold and other buying and selling.
There was a crazy increase on the foreign exchange rate. On Wednesday morning, 1 gram of gold was sold at 16,000 Sudanese pounds. After 2 hours, it increased to 17,000 and it continues up to the end of the day at 19,500 pounds. One US dollar jumped from 240 pounds to 270. We lost greatly.
Last week, Sudanese security operatives conducted search operations in the gold complex in Khartoum to crack down on traders believed to be influencing the foreign currency exchange rate. At least 10 traders were arrested. The money they were carrying was confiscated. Abdullah says the complex will remain closed if the exchange rate does not stabilize.
We shut down our business to prove to the government that the cash in the market is not from us in the gold complex. This is some plan and there are external forces behind this. We are really much affected with the increase on the foreign exchange rate because prices have increased significantly and the purchasing power has decreased.
Ahmad Ahmad, who sells food items in Khartoum, welcomes the crackdown. Ahmad accuses foreign elements of being behind the rapid decline in the value of Sudanese pounds with the intent of destroying Sudan's economy.
This is a good step forward to crack down on the spoilers of the economy. In past years, the previous government used to have security all over the place and questioned everyone that possesses huge amount of money. The security needs to be intensified in the markets so that we stop this smuggling and save our national currency.
Hiba Osman works as a manager for an electronic wholesale center in the Abu Adam neighborhood of Khartoum. Speaking in Arabic, Osman says she was informed by her boss on Wednesday last week to stop the selling until the exchange rate is stable in the market.
We have mobile sellers and retailers who depend on our goods. But now we have to close down and save our capital. We cannot continue selling at a loss. We have announced this on our social media platform and informed our customers that we are no longer selling, not until foreign exchange rates are stable.
The administration of Sudan's former long-time president Omar al-Bashir was overthrown in April last year after months of widespread demonstrations that began over skyrocketing prices for bread and fuel. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
And in Malawi, President Lazarus Chakwera is calling for collaborative efforts in the fight against coronavirus, which has so far infected nearly 6,000 Malawians and killed over 170 others. But commentators say the government should also tackle other diseases rather than focusing on COVID-19 alone. For VOA News, Lamik Masena reports from Blantyre.
In his weekly radio address Saturday, Chakwera said it is worrisome that local transmission has been on the rise despite various efforts to contain the virus.
Today marks
162 days since the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed within our borders, the president said. He said that presently, the transmission of the pandemic is more local than it is imported, so each of us needs to see ourselves and others as potential carriers of the virus. However, Chakwera said there is a need for cooperation in the fight against the pandemic. He asked Malawians to continue to observe 3 rules that health experts have prescribed for keeping the virus from spreading: hand washing, observing distance, and wearing face coverings. Chakwera heard health workers' efforts in the fight against the spread of the pandemic. So far, he said, the number of people tested have reached 48,000, of whom just over 10% have been found with the virus. He said of those confirmed to have the virus, over 60% have fully recovered, while 31% are still recovering. President Chakwera's remarks came at times when the country is easing some of the measures that were put in place to contain the spread of the virus. For example, Malawi opened the schools in phases on September 7. This came after the opening of airports on September 1. Meanwhile, plans are at an advanced stage to resume sports activities and other recreational activities in 2 weeks' time. Health rights campaigner George Jobe supports calls for collaboration in the fight against the disease, especially in schools.
There's a challenge, though, in our schools that the teacher pupil ratio in some schools is high. In such cases, there's need for schools to have the shifting system whereby some classes could be held in the morning and the others in the afternoon in order to decongest classrooms.
However, social commentator Humphrey Mvula told VOA that it's high time government starts to talk of other diseases which are also killing people in hospitals, rather than concentrating on COVID-19 alone.
We equally have other diseases that have killed us, and they are infectious, TB, cholera, whatever. We have lived with those diseases, and we're living with them. If you go to the major hospitals, go and look at the death rate, you still have so many malarians dying every day of other diseases other than COVID.
In his address, President Chakwera said his administration has adequately armed the health sector to deal with all health matters affecting the country. He said in the 2020-2021 national budget, his administration has allocated about $273 million to the health sector, more than double the allocation given to the health sector in the previous national budget. Lamik Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how is the human rights situation around the world? Stay tuned for that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your golden rule in life?
My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. And as you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Michelle Bachelet, will open the Council's 3-week session by presenting an overview of the human rights situation around the world, indicating some of the most pressing issues to be addressed. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
As its first order of business, the Council is expected to consider a request by member countries to hold an urgent debate on the human rights situation in Belarus. The country has been in turmoil following the alleged rigging of the August 9th presidential election. The alleged extrajudicial killings of thousands of people caught up in Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte's war on drugs also will be a top issue. Beyond that, several perennial violators will come under the glare of the human rights spotlight. Reports detailing summary executions, torture, arbitrary arrests, forced disappearances, sexual assault, and other violations in countries such as Syria, Myanmar, Venezuela, South Sudan, Libya, Iran, and Cambodia will come under review. In addition, some investigative mandates may come to an end. For example, the Commission of Inquiry on Human Rights in Burundi, established 4 years ago, will present its final report later this month. Human Rights Watch's Geneva director John Fisher says it is important the Commission's mandate be maintained. He says little has changed on the ground despite the coming into power of Burundi and President Evariste Ndayishimiye following the death of long-serving President Pierre Nkurunziza.
We are also very concerned that the president has made critical remarks about civil society, has signaled that they should not be the mouthpiece of foreign powers or involved in selling secrets to or unveiling secrets to foreigners, that they have tended to limit themselves to criticism, etc.
Fisher says he is concerned that several people responsible for violations under Nkurunziza's rule remain in the new government. Human rights activists are pressing for accountability for the actions of so-called untouchable countries at this session. These are countries deemed to be too powerful to be put in the dock at the Council. A global coalition of 321 civil society groups from 60 countries is calling for China to face greater scrutiny for its alleged systemic and serious human rights violations. Activists expect Russia to come under heightened scrutiny because of its alleged poisoning of opposition figure Alexei Navalny with a deadly Soviet-era nerve agent. Fisher says conditions in Saudi Arabia demand greater scrutiny.
The number of the women's human rights defenders and other government critics remain held incommunicado in detention that detailed situations of prison overcrowding, which, of course, exacerbated the health crisis, particularly during the COVID pandemic, denial of access to health care, deaths of detainees in custody in suspicious circumstances.
Fisher says all detainees should be released and the Council should press for prison reforms and keep Saudi Arabia under its human rights lens. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
At least 60 local Ugandan non-governmental organizations have formed a strong national elections observer team ahead of the 2021 presidential election. A Ugandan election expert says local observers will play a vital role given many travel restrictions because of the coronavirus pandemic. For VOA News, Mungume Davis Rakarange reports from Kampala.
The coalition of 60 local civil society organizations in Uganda is known as the National Election Watch Uganda, also known as the NEU. Rita Achilo, the head of the coalition, says they will focus on protecting the rights of women and youth during and before the elections.
Some of the concerns we have as women is the fact that commercialization of elections or use of money in the elections has been hyped up. And this is discouraging a number of women because, as we all know, women's economic muscle is not as much as that of men. And we anticipate a number of women to be limited due to resources.
Achiro, who also heads Uganda Women's Network, a local NGO which advocates for women's rights, says the coalition will educate masses about the dangers of both domestic and election violence. She says the coalition will establish dozens of offices across the country to inform voters of their rights. Ivan Otim, the coordinator of Youth Coalition for Electoral Democracy, a local youth NGO, agrees that sensitizing both women and youth will be important in determining a peaceful and meaningful election.
In a dynamic where you have 1 million young people disenfranchised from the voter register, and you have a dynamic population of 7 and so million young people who will be who are in the National Voter Register. The fundamental process here is that if you don't have voter mobilization initiatives, then the 7.8 million young people will not be willing and able to participate in the upcoming elections.
Achiro says the new EU will also sensitize the population how to stay safe from coronavirus disease during the electoral process.
As observers, one of the things we'll be looking at is how the SOPs are going to be adhered to, and also ensure that people have the right information in terms of using PPEs, washing hands, having masks on, and also keeping the social distance.
Crispin Kaheru, an election expert in Uganda, says the formation of the coalition is timely.
In the advent of COVID-19, foreign observers cannot fly into countries holding elections. Election observation is going to be largely domestic. Observation is going to have to be done through experts, or observers will have to work virtually and through partnerships.
Uganda's Electoral Commission already issued directives for campaigns to be conducted virtually. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Doctors in South Africa, the continent's coronavirus epicenter, expected to be busy as the virus ravaged its way across the Rainbow Nation. But one type of doctor is seeing an expected boom in demand. Plastic surgeons who say that the combination of lockdown-imposed isolation and South Africa's world-class medical technology is causing a rush of people who are quietly changing their appearances. VOA's Anita Paul reports from Johannesburg.
Dr. Sadia Lahir is very busy right now as the globe battles a pandemic. But the South African physician is not an infectious disease specialist. She's a plastic surgeon, and her days in this Johannesburg hospital are filled to overflowing with nips, tucks, and new breasts. Aesthetic surgeons in Johannesburg say they're seeing the same trend as their counterparts in the U.S., Japan, and elsewhere, a surge in demand for cosmetic procedures.
There's definitely been a flood of people coming through. And again, that's mostly because a lot of people are still at home. They're also, you know, very aware. I think when something like a pandemic hits you, you kind of realize that we're all here on limited time and you want to make the most of everything. And if that means feeling better about yourself, then why not?
At her hospital in southern Johannesburg, patients are carefully monitored for any signs of coronavirus. They receive COVID tests before the procedure and are kept in separate wards from ill patients. Patient Alicia DeLong says she thought long and hard before going under the knife for a breast enlargement. She says she's happy with the results and was comfortable with her doctor's safety precautions. Her procedure was done at a fertility clinic, as her doctor feels it best to avoid hospitals.
It's something that I've really wanted to do for a very long time. And when the time came, yeah, I just thought I'd go ahead and do it, regardless of the time we're living in. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know when it's going to end.
Her procedure cost about $2,600. In the U.S., the average cost of that surgery is just under $4,000, according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Dr. Lahair says she knows that her continent often gets attention for other health crises. But she notes South Africa's medical offerings are varied and world-class.
We still very much keep in touch with the latest and greatest of technologies and techniques. There's a lot of expertise out here. There's a lot to see and a lot to learn. And we've always been involved as a medical fraternity in all of that. So I think there's a lot that we can provide and contribute to. And I'd love everybody to come out and experience that with us as well.
And who knows what you'll leave with, she says. Maybe a new and improved you. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudan's finance ministry says it does not have the money to pay civil servants' past due salaries. Public servants in Juba say their economic situation is deteriorating by the day as commodity prices skyrocket. The last time most civil servants were paid was in April, although some government workers were paid in May. Juba civil servant Fauzia Lakaidi says she buys food from Juba's customs market each day, then resells it to earn money to feed her family. Another government worker says he and many others like him have started working a second job to put food on the table for their family since they're not getting paid by the government. Some traders in Khartoum welcome the decision by authorities to regulate Sudan's foreign currency trade. Traders at Khartoum's gold complex have been closed since yesterday. They say they want an end to what they call the chaos in commodity prices and the rapid depreciation of the Sudanese pound against the U.S. dollar. Many say they cannot continue operating at a loss. Last week, Sudanese security agents searched shops in the gold complex to crack down on traders believed to be influencing the foreign currency rate. At least 10 traders were arrested. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
We would like to welcome our listeners of 99.9 FM in Kakuma Refugee Camp in Kenya, who are enjoying good programs on a new VOA FM station in the camp. Thanks to VOA management for caring about refugees. We now leave you with the song My Country by a Lonely Boy from Bidibidi Refugee Camp in Uganda.
Na na na, we back again. Lonely boy, the master, we back again. And I'm busy kiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan.
And I'm busy kiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan.
And I'm a replay. Nasketir mabiru dubeleto. Mod bihaliso. Come on, the city move. Malu, Junub Sudan. De beleta masakila po. Kebelia fogo. Come on, tia fogo. Me, Malis papa. Ita kanrua bibeleta zon. Kene itariza. Asanta abinu. Risala de. Kede wasulu le kulu junubin. Kede mon hare. Bele u bele takim. I'm lonely boy, BMC music, oh na na, no no no. And I'm busy kiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan.
And I'm busy kiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan. Pulek bak luluke,
aina.
Dolong bak aluke,
aina.
Dog bak yeye junyo,
aina.
Nandi pondi luke,
aina.
Lady sepa magi,
aina.
Lady sepa kakwa,
aina.
Lady sepa kuku,
aina.
Laki ndo popuru,
aina.
Lady sepa magi,
aina.
Lady sepa kakwa,
aina.
Lady sepa kuku,
aina.
Laki ndo popuru.
Ana bizekiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan.
Ana bizekiri,
Junub Sudan.
I am a team,
Junub Sudan.
My country,
Junub Sudan.
Dana schoolum,
Junub Sudan.
Domo kanyo, dore nyani jule.
We've been listening to Lonely Boy with the song My Country. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to listen to this program. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your house. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Junub
Sudan. I belong back at Europe Sudan.
My country,
Europe Sudan.
Can I be born in
Europe Sudan?
And I'm busy getting
back to Sudan.
I am a
step back at Europe Sudan.
My country,
Europe Sudan.
Can I get up to
Europe Sudan?
And I'm busy getting
back to Sudan.
I am a
step back at Europe Sudan.
My country,
Europe Sudan.
Can I get up to
Europe Sudan?
This is the message. All my people, we should take.